This is the time is now. This is going to be part four. Hopefully you've enjoyed this series, this talk, the talks that we've been having. In part one, we talked about it's the time is now. It's time to change. It's time to be different. We shouldn't be waiting on God to move. God's waiting on us to move. He's laid everything out for us, and we need to change. We need to step forward. Part number two, we talked about it was time to choose joy. A life where your life is filled with the joy of the Lord so much that it overflows into the lives of other people. That it comes out of us that we can't contain it. How many of you know, you ever got good news and you just couldn't contain it? You had to tell somebody about it? That's the way the joy of the Lord should be in our lives. It should be overflowing, and we should be so excited and that we can't wait to get to other people. Last week, last Sunday, part three, we talked about it's time to follow Jesus. Really living a life for Jesus like never before. Living a life that's all in. That's saying, I'm not going to keep part of it back, or I'm not going to keep you out of this section or that section, but I'm going to give you everything that I have. And then today, we're going to talk about, last week again, we talked about where God comes to us right where we are, but he refuses to leave us there. It's about the next step, always taking the next step, constantly growing, constantly changing. Stephen Covey says this quote, are you guys ready? It says, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting, right? And you guys have heard it said that way and other ways. A lot of us are expecting better. Our hopes are high for our lives and for what God's going to do in our lives. But our habits are staying the same. Our habits are low. We don't change what we're doing. So how can we expect a change to come in our life? We need to change. We need to go all in. We need to allow Jesus to have everything that we have. We're not going to get there unless things change in our lives. That was about last week. You can change your direction. I was reading and looking through in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. John the Baptist, Jesus, right before Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist is there, and he's in the wilderness preaching and baptizing people. And verse 2 says this. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of you know today the kingdom of God is closer to us than it's ever been? We can continue to say that. We can continue to understand that it's there. And what we read in that chapter right there, I'm going to go ahead and read a couple more verses I didn't have planned on, but I'm going to read three more verses. Verse 3 says, for this was he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. It says, verse 5, it says, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were going to him. All these people were coming for a change. They had tried religion. They had religion, right? And Jesus was coming. Jesus is something different. It's something new. It's a change. It's not what the normal was, right? In our lives, are we going to continue to do the normal? One of my pastor told me this. Hold on, let me get a napkin real quick. My pastor in Louisiana said this the other day when we were talking. He said, if we go back to the normal, then we've missed everything that just happened. We missed the point behind it. So if we revert back and we can't wait till everything gets back to normal, there's no change that happens, then we haven't grown through the situation at all, right? There's some things that we should change. There's some things that we need to do different. John the Baptist here is telling us to repent, change our mindset, change our direction, go a different way, and allow God to do something that we never dreamed possible. I mean, you know, that's our lives the last few months, something completely different than we had ever expected. We never would have done the things that we're doing right now had it not been for this situation, right? God can bring good out of every situation. Repent, again, is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible because it's a hope for a change, a hope for something better. Saying, I'm not happy with where I'm at, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it seems weird to people, and it seems different, and they don't understand why you're doing it, and it doesn't make sense to them, but it doesn't have to. Amen? How many people looked at these people coming from all these different places like, why are you going out to see this redneck that wears animal clothes and is dunking people under the water? Like, why are you going to go do that? What? I don't know, but something's got to be different. Something's got to change, right? We see that in the scripture that they come and they come and they're changing. And their lives are completely different because of what? Because of their willingness to do things in a different way. This morning, man, I'm gonna talk about having God first on our list, putting God first in our life. And there's a quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, human history is the long and terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make them happy. If you think about that, man, how many things did I try to put into my life to make me happy, to go to the place, into the place that God was supposed to be in my life, that ended up ultimately destroying what God had for me at that time because I was trying to find something to take his place in my life. I was trying to find something to give me the joy that I seek for, the happiness that we call it. I was searching for that, and I was putting the wrong things in the place of God. We need to understand that we need to put God at the top of our list of everything in our life. People might look at us like we're crazy. They may say, why are you doing those things? It doesn't make any sense. But it doesn't have to make sense to them. It doesn't. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that people are going to ridicule us because we were following Christ. Christ said, they hated me, they're going to hate you if you're following me. It's going to happen. We need to understand that sometimes we need to do something different to get a different result. Amen? Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, says this, besides, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is near to us, nearer to us than we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify his desires. I love the way the Message Bible says, and I'm going to read that to you right now. It says, but make sure that you don't get absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations so you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. How many of you know we get so caught up in our lives that we miss God being a part of it? We get so caught up in the plan that we have, and we have to get this done and this done and this done, and we have to do this, this, and this, and then we realize that the day is gone. The day is gone, and we didn't pray. We didn't talk to anybody about God. We didn't spend time in his presence. We didn't do all those things because we were too busy to do those things. Now, I'm not going to say that all those things that we've done are not worth doing, but how many of you know if you put things in the right order, it'll all fit? And if it doesn't fit, then maybe you shouldn't have had it there to start with. Amen? The night is over. In other words, we're running out of time. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. We need to be aware of what God is doing in our lives. And if we're not paying attention to him and putting him in that place in our life, then we'll miss a lot of things God wants to do in our hearts and in our minds. God is putting the finishing touches on salvation, the salvation work that he began when we first believe. It's a process that we go through. It's a process that we go through. We're supposed to be new every day. We're supposed to be new every day. It's a new relationship every day. You say, what does that mean? That means today, as I've said in the weeks past, I have to decide today what my relationship with Christ looks like. Same as I have to decide what my relationship with my wife looks like. Same as I have to decide the relationship that my kids look like and my friends, the people that I've put into my life. I have to decide where they're going to be at in my life today because yesterday is gone. I believe with all my heart that if we put God first in our lives, that our lives will be better. There may be issues, there may be struggles and things that we're going to go through. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through tough things, but it does mean that God will be there holding you and guiding you and bringing you through those things, and you won't be alone in them. You won't be alone in the middle of the situation. Understand this, when we put God first, all the other things in our life will fall into place. When we put God first, everything in our proper place, what does it look like? It looks like God first and everything else second. Everything else after that. Regardless of what it is. Again, I've told you guys before, but at night we say our prayers and we talk about how thankful we are with the premise of if I only had tomorrow, what I thank God for today, what would be a part of my life? And I go through and I thank God for my home that He's given to us. We thank God for my parents. And my in-laws, them too. I thank God for them too. I love them. I actually have amazing in-laws, and I'm going to stop there, but I actually have amazing in-laws. Some people don't have that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my family, for the health that He's given to us. I'm thankful for my girls. I'm thankful for my dog, Socks. You know, we're thankful for Socks. And I say most of all, I'm thankful for Mommy, April, right? And my daughters had a hard time at first. And they're like, how come I'm not most of all, Daddy? I said, because God has given me your mom. And I get to teach him the principle about that. But I have to put even my wife in the right place when it comes to God. God has to be first, and then comes my wife. And then the things after that. It's a decision that we have to make. It's a choice that we have to make. So in my life, I've had several mentors. When I first came to Christ and wanted to change, Philip Pemlot took me under his wing and started teaching me and sharing with me and showing me things and said, hey, you know, I can't go to Bible college because I got to work. I'm doing full time. I don't have time to do all of that. And he said, you know what? He took me and about two or three other guys. Actually, it was three other guys. It was Ron, John, and Mo. And we were all there together and we would get together and a couple times a week we would study Bible. We would go through things and he would teach us some things that we needed to know for ministry. And the only reason why he could teach me those things is because I put him in that place in my life. How many of you know people can try to teach you stuff? If they're not in the place in your life, it doesn't do anything but make you mad. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest, even though you've put those people in that place in your life, they tell you things that still makes you mad. Right? So Philip helped me out tremendously. He gave me the start as a kids pastor in the church. He said, man, we don't have a kids pastor. Do you want to do it? I was like, I ain't never done it, but okay, let's do it. Right? And that's how my ministry began. And he taught me and showed me a lot of different things. And then I went from there and I went to the Freedom Church and Bud Plake taught me. And Carl was the executive pastor. Carl Kelly, who's my pastor, taught me a lot of different things and gave me my start as a youth pastor. Said, hey, man, we don't have a youth pastor. What do you think? And again, my response was, I've never done that, but let me give it a try. I want to be you, so let's do it. And they taught me so many different things. And today, Carl Kelly is still my pastor in Louisiana at Celebration Church. And a lot of what I get from in my ministry as an adult, as a pastor of a church, comes through a filter of Carl Kelly. And then again, one of my other mentors is my father, Bill Cox. Most of you guys know him as Pastor Cox. I have those people in my life that share things with me. And one of the things that they are to me is accountability in my life. So I go to them and I talk with them with different things and I share things with them. And this is the one thing about all of those guys. Still today, I can call all of those guys. And still today, they don't hold a single punch back when they tell me what I'm doing. Right? They don't sugarcoat things when they call. So I had a situation the other day, and I had an opportunity to speak and say what I should have said. How many of you know sometimes we don't do that? Sometimes we don't. Whether it's fear of saying those things and being made fun of, or whether it's a fear of saying those things and losing a friend, or whether it's a fear of I don't know what it could be. It could be many, many different things. But one of the things that I love about these guys and having them in my life is there are no filters when it comes to them. They tell me exactly what they think and exactly how they feel. And I try to take, if you look at some of the people that I have in my life, trying to mentor some different people and speak into people's lives, I don't hold punches either. I don't. I'm very upfront. And so thinking along that thought, I don't speak to all of you the way that I speak to some of them sometimes. Or the way that my mentors speak to me and they say, I'm like, wait, you did what? No, stop. That's dumb. Why would you do that? Right? That's how they speak to me in some areas. Why? What are you thinking? Right? I don't talk with a lot of you guys that way. Why? Because you might never come back, one, and then I don't have an opportunity. But if I was going to speak to you and the message today comes out of that premise. There's a lot of things in our life that we need to do to put God first. And today I'm not going to be I'm just going to be real with y'all today. Are you ready? The first thing that we need to do, I'm going to give you a list of four. There's a lot more than four, but I'm going to give you four today that are important that have been taught to me and I think we need to put it in play in our lives. And you say, "Well, how?" I'm just going to go on. You ready? It's time to take control of your schedule. First thing, when it comes to putting God first, it's time to take control of our schedule. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Because when our life becomes a mess, it becomes out of balance. When we don't have a plan, that's one of the things that I'm learning from our friends from Russia that are here. Every day they come to me and they say, what's the plan for today? What is the plan for tomorrow? What is the plan? And I'm like, I don't know the plan, man. I'm just, oh no, we're going to do something. It's going to be fun. Something, right? You need to have a plan, because what happens if you fail? That what's the statement? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? If we don't plan to put God first in our schedule, if we don't plan to put God first in everything that we're doing, then we miss a lot of things that God wants us to do because we don't have time. Or because it doesn't fit, or because we fly to this and that and the other, and then the things that are most important, we look back and they're gone. And we don't have that opportunity again. We need to understand that we have to have a method to what we're doing and we have to think it out. If we're going to put God first, we need to take a hold of our schedule. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after the wind. Better is a handful to only have a little bit with peace of mind than to be busy all the time with both hands trying to catch the wind. How many of you ever seen those wind tunnels where they put money in the bottom and you got goggles on and they put you in there? Do y'all know what I'm... Okay, you stand in there. Do you know, I'm just be honest, I found the best way to do it is to grab something with my right hand and stick it in my left and just keep it, right? And just keep it. Why? Because what ends up happening is I try to grab with both hands and I end up with a whole lot of nothing, right? I end up with a whole lot of nothing. Some of us are going through life with a whole lot of nothing because we're trying to just grab everything we can instead of holding on to God and allowing God to bring us through everything that we're going through. Everything. We need to understand we need to put God first when it comes to our schedule. Some of us need to learn how to say no. Try it with me one time. Say no. No. That actually felt very good, didn't it? Let's do it again. No. No. You guys are getting good at this. Some of us need to learn how to say no. Why? Because we want to say yes to everybody. We want to please everybody. We want to help everybody, but in doing that, we miss a lot of things. How many of you know there are some good things you can do, and then there are God things to do, right? I can be so busy with good things that I miss what God wants me to do in my situation. I like to say yes to everything. I want to say yes to everything. And a lot of times I say yes to it, and then I can't fulfill it because I've said yes to too many things, right? We need to understand. We need to take hold of our schedule. We need to learn to say no to some things so we can say yes to the important things. Let me put it this way. We don't need to prioritize our schedule. We need to schedule our priorities. Let's put it that way. We don't need to prioritize our schedule. We need to schedule our priorities, and God should be at the top of all of it. Our time for getting in His presence, our time for getting in His Word, our time for spending some time in worship just with me and Him, our time for scheduling some worship time for me and my wife and my kids, do it together so that they understand what it should look like. We need to schedule those times and make sure that nothing comes in front of those schedules. Because what ends up happening is like, well, I'll get to it later. Well, this is a little more, I'll get to it later. How many of you know nothing's more important than spending time with God? And I promise you that if you put things in the right priority, in the right place, that you'll be able to accomplish so much more. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the way is good, and walk in it. Find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it. The New Living Translation says it like this, and I like it a little bit better. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly ways and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of you know, when you try to talk about the principles of God and how we should live our lives according to the Scripture, what's the one thing that everybody says? Well, that's just old-fashioned. That's not the way it should be. That's just old-fashioned. You know what? I'm be honest. I think that we should go back to some of the old-fashioned ways of our parents and our grandparents when it comes to putting God at first in our life, when it comes to how we should live our lives and what we should do. If I said today that we were going to have a Sunday morning service, a Sunday night service, and a Wednesday night service, people would leave the church. Well, I ain't coming. I ain't coming to that. I'm too busy. Am I saying that we need to go back to that? I'm saying we need to spend more time in God's presence. And if it takes a service to do it, then we need to do it. I'm going to say it again. If we need to do it, let's do it. We need to spend more time in God's presence. We need to spend more time. But we allow other things to get in the way. And even though they're good things, they don't belong in the place of God in our life. And you say, well, I can have God first in my life and not do all those things. Maybe, yeah. Some of us can. But do you know what ends up happening? We say, well, I can do that in another way. And we never do it another way. We fill our schedules with all those things. We never do it in another way. Some of the things that we should get back to in our lives, in our scheduling and what we do. First thing again is put God first. The second thing is to love one another. We should be loving other people, even the unlovable ones. Y'all might have to love on me sometimes, and I'm not always lovable. I know. It's difficult to believe, right? I'm not always lovable. To be honest, you're not always lovable either, right? Be truthful. Another thing we need to do is give generously. We need to give generously. God's given us so much in our lives. For us to hold on to it is wrong. Number four, never hate. Never hate. We need to live simply. Stop adding so many things to our schedule. That's one of the things that this is causing a lot of people to do, is live simply. Some people are just now learning how to cook at home, y'all. Like, for the first time ever. Like, what is that? That's a pan? What do you do with it? Right? Two more things we need to do, and they kind of walk hand in hand. We need to forgive quickly. Stop holding on to stuff, man. Let it go. Think this thought. If God forgave you in the same manner that you forgave someone else, other people, I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about the people that you love, right? Because you forgive them quick. What about that one person that you are still holding on to? What if God forgave you in the same manner that you forgave them, would you even have forgiveness? Think that thought. Like, well, you don't understand. Man, I don't understand. I'm not in your situation, and I'm not even claiming that I understand where you're standing at. But I do understand that the Word of God says forgiveness needs to come. And this is a hard one. It should be easy, but this is a hard one. If you're honest with yourself, we need to always be kind. Always be kind. We need to get back to those basics in our lives. They come from the Scripture. I want you to do me a favor. I got some homework. Y'all ready? I'm going to see who did it. Romans 12. I want you to read Romans 12, starting at the end. I think it's at the end. Let me see. Hold on a second. Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans, right? No, there's a couple more in there. Oh, I can't get my pages turned. Romans 12. There it is. Let me see where it starts at. Verse 9. Oh, that's your homework. 9 through 21. It's not that many verses. Right? I want you to read that and look, and I want you to put it against that list that I just gave you. I think there's one that's not spoken about in that one little block of Scripture. I want you guys to read that. Not now, later. Go back later. That's your homework. It's time to take control of our schedule. Second thing we need to do. Y'all ready to move on to point number two? And this is where from here, two and three are going to get a little rough, y'all. Hope you guys are ready. It's time to rethink what we allow to enter our mind and our bodies. It's time to rethink what we allow to come into our lives. We have no filter in life, especially if we watch the television today, if we watch the movies that are put out, we watch the things. My kids had a game on their phone the other day, and you know how if you get the free apps on there, that comes with commercials in between, and there was a commercial on there that was promoting things that we as Christians do not believe in whatsoever. And my kids are watching these games. I looked at the game. I didn't look at the commercials that play in the middle of it. My wife looked over and saw something on the screen and said, "Hey, give me that." And looked at it, and she said, "Hey, look at this." I'm like, "Well, let's get rid of that." I didn't know that was on there. It's important that we guard what we allow to come into our lives through what we see, through what we hear, through what we take in through our mouth. We need a gate on all three of those things. I'm gonna be honest, man. What we put in our life in all those areas and all those ways will determine where our life will end up being in the future. If we're being honest, man, some of the questions that were asked to me and some of the questions that I pose to other people is what kind of music are you listening to? You say, well, that's kind of difficult. Well, you just don't listen, you only listen to Christian music. No, I listen to other music too. I do, honestly. But I find myself more and more right now listening to worship music, listening to songs that put me in God's presence. Because I, how many of you know, slowly, you end up being away from where God has you to be. It's not all at once that it happens. Amen? It's not all at once that it happens. And it starts because we start relaxing certain values and issues and things in our life to push us in a different direction. What kind of movies are we watching? What kind of stuff am I seeing on the television? And what am I allowing to be in my spirit? It's like, well, you're getting legalistic. Man, you can call it what you want, but the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to put good things in and not bad things. Right? In all different ways of our life. How much alcohol do you drink? Do you drink at all? Those are questions that I have been asking that I ask other people. And if I ask this, What kind of prescription drugs do you take that you're free to get off of, but you continue to take them because it helps you feel better, right? Like, I don't need those, but I need them, right? Now, look, I take prescription drugs. I'm not down on all of that, but I'm saying this. There are some things that we leave in our life longer than we need them to be a part of our life. There are things that we allow to be in our life that take us away from what God wants us to be, whether they're good or whether they're bad. How many of you know there's some inanimate objects, right? We were talking the other day. It's not money that's the root of all evil. What is it? It's the love of money. It's the misuse of money, right? Putting it in the wrong perspective in our lives. But see, this is the thing. We all come from different places. We all have different walks. The Holy Spirit convicts us all differently. So I'm not saying you have to live exactly the way that I live. But I'm going to tell you, when I got rid of certain things in my life changed completely and is never going to be the same again. And it's so much better than it ever could have been before. Remember the quote from last week. God comes to us right where we are, but he refuses to leave us there. Some people want God to meet us right where we are, and we stay there and have the relationship with him. That's not the way that it works. We're supposed to be changed. We need to take steps constantly. Remember, that's the last point from last week. And I had a conversation yesterday with a gentleman who came to get a spaghetti dinner, and he asked me a question, and one of the things he started the question off was like, "I'm not asking you this to argue. I don't want to argue the point." I said, "Well, I don't want to argue either. How many of you know we can have differences of opinion on what the scripture says and still be brothers and sisters?" Yeah. Right? I don't get along with everything that I don't ascribe to everything my physical brother and sister say. But how many of you know I still love them? They're still my brothers and sisters. And on some topics, we say, you know what? You believe that way, and I believe this way. Doesn't make us to where we hate each other. How many of you know, I saw a meme. It said, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I hate you, right? Doesn't mean I dislike you. So all these things that I'm saying, you'd be like, no, I don't want that. And that's fine. That's fine. But I want you to look in the scripture, and I want you to ask God, what are the things that I have in my life that don't need to be there? What am I allowing to come into my heart, into my life? Because I still get this whenever I talk to anybody about these things, they say, well, God still loves me even if I have those things in my life. He does love you, but he came to set you free from all the things that hold you back. Well, it's not that bad. What I'm doing is not that bad. Well, it's not that good either, right? It's not that good either. My response would be this. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is going to help me do what God's called me to do. Some things are not good for you. Some things are not good for other people to see you doing. Just to be honest. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. It's legal, but does it help me put God first in my life? It's available for me to do, but is it going to be helpful? Do you know what? I'm just going to be honest. I can eat 10 chocolate cakes. I could sit down and you could put chocolate pies in front of me, chocolate cakes in me, and I could eat all 10 of them. Is chocolate cake bad? I mean, depends on who you talk to. It's got a lot of sugar, you know, all those different things, a lot of carbs. Is it bad? Is it a sin if I eat those chocolate cakes? Well, maybe if I eat 10 of them, I don't know. It talks about being a glutton. But you understand my principle. Right? Just because it's not a bad thing doesn't mean me doing it in excess is okay. Right? My daughter made some mac and cheese yesterday. My youngest, Shelby, it's the microwave kind. You put it in there. She came out and she said, "Dad, I put too much salt in my mac and cheese, and now it's nasty." I'm like, first of all, why did you put salt in it? Like, what? Mac and cheese doesn't need salt. Let's get past that. So you put too much in it, so now it's not any good. So you're going to have to get rid of it. So this time, make yourself one more and don't touch the salt, okay? Some of us in our life need to understand that just because it's okay in our lives, when we put way too much of it in there, it destroys our life. We need to go back. We need to say, okay, let me start this again, and let me leave that out of the equation to see how it works out for me, right? Just because it's okay, just because it's legal, just because I can do this thing doesn't mean that I should. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So naturally, we love to do the wrong thing. I'm just going to be honest. Okay, so I was at Lowe's the other day, and the guy made me really, really mad. He was being very rude and disrespectful, and my kids were there. And I wanted to just not be nice to him. And I didn't. And I was not super nice to him, but I wasn't as mean as I really wanted to be. You understand? That would have felt good for me to do those things, but how many of you know that was completely and totally wrong? right? Even though that was my desire at that moment to do that thing, it's local pastor beats elderly man up at Lowe's, right? It's just horrible. This is bad, right? I wouldn't do that, y'all. But my first reaction was not, and if you'll be honest, your first reaction in situations is not what it should be either when it comes into your mind. Why? Because we tend to go towards the things that we shouldn't do way more than we go towards what God has for us, the way that the Spirit leads us. The still small voice. I love the old cartoon. Remember the devil and the angel sitting on her shoulders arguing, do this. No, don't do this. Do this. No, don't do it. Right? That's a funny way to look at it, but that's what happens inside of us. There's what we know that we should do, and there's what we really want to do, right? And this is the thing. We have to decide what we're going to allow to come out of our lives. And do you know what ends up coming out of our lives? Back to the point we're talking about. What we put in is what comes out. What we put in is what comes out. We need to understand if we really want to put God first, then we need to rethink what we allow to enter our bodies and our minds. The next thing, and this is I'm going to be the pastor today. Everybody says the preachers only talk about money today. Are you guys ready? I'm not talking about money because I want your money. That's not it. But it's time that we organize our finances around give, save, and live. Give, save, and live. I've heard it before, man. You all you want to talk about is money, all this, that, and the other. If I had more money, listen, if I had a dollar for every time I heard this, if I had more money, then I could be faithful to give. How many of you know giving $10 out of $100 is so much easier than giving $10,000 out of $100,000? Right? Right? Just be honest. Right? It would be so much easier to give just a little bit. If we're talking about the principle of tithing, which according to the scripture, what I read of the scripture is 10%. Go back and look at it. Giving our tithes and our offerings. Us to do that. Us to put God first in everything. Understanding the fact that if we put him first in everything, he blesses everything. According to scripture. According to scripture. When you understand the principle of tithing and what it is and what it means and what it does in your life, not just for you, but for other people, it changes everything. Crown class, if you haven't taken crown class, when we get it started back up again, you need to be a part of it. You need to go through and learn the biblical principle of what God says about being a good steward of not just your finances, but everything that you have. And your finances come into play with that. Tithing is the first thing that you do. Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then it says this, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine of the field. Shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. How many of you know we want all the blessings, but we don't want to do what it takes to have the blessings be a part of our life? We want all the rewards and the benefits, but we don't want to do what it takes to put those in place in our life. No, I'm not about to take up a special offering, so don't. That's not where I'm going with this. But I am going to say, when you're faithful with what God has put in your hand, when you put God first in your life with everything that you have, everything will change, including your finances. April and I decided again to do this really, really early in our marriage. When we first got married, we said the first thing we're going to do is this. First thing we're going to do is this. I love the online giving because you know what? As soon as our funds hit the bank, what do? We go online and give. That's our right now because we're not giving on Sundays and I don't have to carry cash around and do all that. That's what we do every time. She gets a check on Friday, she puts it in immediately, right? We get a check on Friday, we puts it in immediately. That's what we do. That's what we've set forth. And we've seen God do miracles in our life through our way of financing, through our way of giving us things that we can bless other people with, right? I had somebody ask me the other day, like, why do you have three vehicles? Because you only got two drivers in your house. One, I like to play in my Jeep, right? It's fun to go out and play and have fun and do those things. I don't always want to ride it in the rain, so there's that. But I have my truck as well to haul things. You know, if you don't have something for a while, you really miss it. Aaron was saying that yesterday when people were coming through. He's like, I miss seeing you so much. I don't really understand how much I miss seeing you until I can't see you, right? I miss seeing my dad, man. Right now, because all this is going on, I can't go see him. If I see him, it's through the door because I don't want to get him sick, right? He's very, very high risk health. My mom, don't see my mom, don't help my mom. Why? Because she's on the other side of the glass too, because she's taking care of my dad, right? And so I miss that. And you don't understand how much you miss things until they're gone. But getting, I don't know how I got there, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm going to come back. But getting back to the point that we're talking about is this. Just a quick update. Chairs. You guys can't see them right now, but there are some amazing chairs sitting here that we talked about in the middle of January and had ordered almost 2 months later and have come in and are sitting here waiting for all of us to come back and sit in these chairs, right? What a blessing is that, right? What a blessing is that it was put before you and you guys said, hey, we want to do this. Do you know what? I had four people give funds after the chairs were paid for. And I called them and I said, listen, you gave funds for the chairs, but we've already gotten the chairs. They're here. They're ready. They're sitting here waiting to come back. Like, well, what project do we have next? Let's put it towards that. I want to give. I mean, I already have a project, but remember, no special offering. So I ain't going to tell you about it today, right? We'll talk about it in the future. But it's one of those things that God puts things in our hands so that we can. Do you know how many people are going to be blessed because they're sitting in a chair that one of you guys paid for? Right? Do you know, again, yesterday, Keith came, rode his bike up, and Aaron sat down and talked with him at the table for probably, what, 30, 40 minutes? For a while. He talked with him for a while, and as Aaron said, I gave him every opportunity not to accept Jesus Christ, because I didn't want him to do it just to think he had to, because we gave him a meal, right? He said he sat there and he poured into his life, and because of that, he gave his life to Jesus yesterday. He decided to make him his Lord and Savior. That is a blessing that came because somebody provided spaghetti, right? Somebody cooked some noodles. Somebody decided to stand out with a sign yelling, being like, come and see. Come on, free meals. We don't understand what we give today, the impact it has on people's lives. And that's with everything that we have in our hands. But as a believer, we need to get this point. That's one of the most difficult areas to trust God with. You guys understand that? It is. Like, if I do this, then I can't do that. And if I give, then I might not have that. But I'm going to tell you what. The scripture is clear. Try me in this area and see if I won't open the winds of heaven, pour out a blessing. It doesn't say that you're going to be blessed so you have so much stuff. What does it say? So that every need will be taken care of. But how many of you know, I'm around people that are in need all the time. And if I'm a good steward with what God's given me, guess what? When I come in contact with somebody who's in need, I'll have it to give. That's why that principle is so important. To give, save, and live. Put them in that order. Give, save, and live. Why? Well, you're talking about saving. Why are you talking about saving? Because if I save back what God's given to me, then I have seed to sow. If I eat my seed, I don't have nothing to sow. And how can I have a crop? How can I have a harvest come back from it? Amen? Dave Ramsey says it like this. He says, live like no one else today so you can live like no one else tomorrow. Everybody else is buying stuff and getting this and getting that and doing this and doing that. You know what? You decide to put some stuff back. You decide to give to God. You decide to put back. And you decide to use the rest to live on. I guarantee you, you're going to have what you need in your life. It's the principle. It comes out of the scripture. You want to get closer to God? Put this principle in your life. How do you say that? Because the scripture says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love the fact that one of Abraham's most valuable possessions was his son Isaac, the promise that God had given to him, as Nick was talking about earlier, right? One of his prized possessions was that, because if you don't have a son in those days, it was a disgrace, right? And Abraham was willing to give God his son regardless. Right? Why? Because he trusted God. And when God said, hey, follow me, do what I ask you to do, this is what I will do for you. He said, God, I understand. I don't like where I'm going. I don't like having to give this son up to you. But if you've given him to me and you said that this is where your heir would come from, reading the scriptures, going through, you said that this is where it would come from, the promise that you gave me. So if this happens, if I give him to you now, something is going to change, have to change. And you understand what Abraham said to Isaac when he was walking to the top of the mountain? And Isaac said, where is our sacrifice? What did he say? He didn't say, it's you, man, come on. No. He said, God will provide. If we understand that principle that God will provide, we won't hold anything back from him. We won't hold anything back from him. How am I handling my finances is one of the tough questions that my mentors asked me when I first began, and still to this day ask me that question. Let's go to point four. Y'all ready? We got one more point. And I think this is one of the most important points that you could have. Number four is it's time to spend time with God. This is a game changer, spending time with God. Spending time in worship, not on Sundays for the 30 minutes that we do worship songs. But spending time worshiping God, spending time getting in his presence, putting on some worship music and dancing around the house, doing whatever it is that you do, and worshiping God is important to do. We get so busy with our lives that we leave this portion out. How many of you know everything changes when you get in the presence of God? Fear leaves your life when you get in the presence of God. Doubt leaves your life when you get in the presence of God. Depression leaves your life when you get in the presence of God. Spending some time in his word every day. Again, when we pray, I'm not going to say we. I'm not going to leave you out of it. I'm going to say me. And then you can take from it if you want. You should probably take from it. I'm just saying. But how many times have my prayers been all about God, do this for me. God, give me this. God, do this. Not about God, I want more of you. God, I want to see you in my life. God, I want to see you in my family's life. God, I want to be used by you. God, show me what I should do, what I should change, who I should be. God, help me be who you created me to be. Instead of, thank you, God, for this food. Amen. Right? We need to understand that we need our minds renewed. We need our lives renewed. We need to spend time in the presence of God and allow His Spirit to speak to us. Allow His Spirit to change us. Spend time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What is God telling us? That it's a more of a mindset than it is with anything else. It's coming to God with everything. Anything happens to you, what do? I go to God first. Right? So before I make any decisions at my house, I always talk to my wife. Right? Always talk to my wife. Before I make any big financial decisions in my life, there's one person in my life that I always call and talk to. Always. Why? Because he's very good with finances. So I call him and I say, hey, man, what do you think about this? And he tells me, right? Don't do that. That's dumb. You need to do this, right? Holds no punches, right? No, don't. Why? Do this. There are certain people that I go to for certain things. And I was thinking about this today as I was walking my dog this morning. Do you know the only time that I don't go to my mentors about an issue is when I know they're going to tell me something I don't want to hear? So I find somebody that maybe is not going to be looking in their Bible to read what could give me my advice as to what I should do, right? Be honest, y'all do it too. Y'all go to this person, they give you the wrong answer. You be like, okay, let me go to this person. And you go from person to person to person to person getting advice until you find somebody that tells you exactly what you want to hear and be like, that's the best advice I've heard all day, right? Why? Because it's what you want to do. We need to understand that in everything we do in our lives, before we make a decision, before we make a choice, before we get up and start our day, we need to spend time in the presence with God. We need to make it a habit. You said, well, you're putting legalism on me. I said, no, I'm scheduling my priorities and saying it's important that I get in God's presence. It's important that I spend time with Him, because in Him I'm going to find what I need. In Him, I'm going to find what I need. He desires to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wants us to talk with Him. He wants us to... you read back in Genesis. Do you know what the plan was at the beginning? For us to walk with Him in the cool of the evening, right? Adam and Eve got to spend time with Him. Talk with Him. Do you know what? We still have that availability all day long to talk with Him. To have Him be a part of our life. And you say, well, I don't understand Him. Well, I don't hear Him speak. The more you talk to Him, the more you give Him an opportunity to speak, and you be quiet. Remember, be still and know. Or my translation, shut up and listen, right? If we do that, when we do that, we'll get to know His voice clearer than anything else in the world. I promise you that. We need to have the relationship with Him. We need to pray first. We need to understand that when we call out to Him, He answers us. It was like, well, I say stuff and He doesn't answer me. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer you. Not I might answer you, or I'll think about getting back with you, or just leave your name and number at the beep, right? Call me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you do that you have not known. He'll show us the things that we need to know. We need to call on Him. We need to spend more time in His presence. We need to know that He is our God. We need to put Him in charge of everything. Today, it's time for us to take control of our schedule, to rethink what we put inside of our body and our minds, to organize our finances around give, save, and live, and to spend time with God, most importantly. Would you guys come on back up? Today, some of you need to put God in your life, period. We all need to put Him first in our life today. But maybe you're like Keith yesterday and you haven't given your life to Christ. Today is the day. No time better than today. No time better than right now to allow God to change your heart, to change your life, to make you into who He created you to be, to look to Him for guidance on things. And you say, you be honest and say, you know what, today I need that. I want you to say this prayer with me. The scripture tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we will be saved. You say, well, you don't understand what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. The scripture doesn't put a limit to it. It doesn't say everybody's welcome unless you did this. Everybody can come to me. I want everybody except for the people that did that. It's not what it says. It says that while we were still sinners, while we were still living in sin, while we were still in a place that separated us from God, Christ died for us so that we could have that relationship. You want that relationship today? It's a gift. Ask for it. Scripture says He'll give it to you. I want you guys to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to You. Your Son died so that I could have freedom, so that I could have relationship, so that I could know You. And I accept it today. Help me be who You created me to be. I love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, you've got some things in your life that you need to reprioritize. You need to put God first in your life. You need to change around the way you do things with your finances, with the things that God's put into your hands. Today, you need to put God first in every aspect of your life. Love what John the Baptist says. Today is the day. repent. Turn. Understand, hey, I've got issues. I've got these things. And I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to take that step that we talked about last week, that we spoke about today. I'm going to take that step towards God. I'm going to take that step. And I don't understand where that staircase is going to go. I don't understand how it's going to look. And I don't see how it's going to work. But God, I'm going to put you first in everything that I do. And I'm going to start now. God, I ask that you would help us to see that. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, Father God, show us the areas, the ways that we need to change, the things that we need to do that keep us from you, Father God. I ask that you would help us with that now. I ask that you would allow us to see you in our lives. See your hands moving in the situations that we have, Father God. And let us give our lives wholly to you and put you first in everything. And in doing that, see what you do in our lives, how you move in our lives, Father. And I ask you now in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want you guys to do this with me. Stand to your feet, and we're going to sing another song. We're going to get in his presence and worship him just a little bit. Because he is good to us, amen. Amen. Let's sing.